Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Hello, I'm Jen Brown, along with Bruce McGregor. On the phone line with us, we have the founder of Mary's Advocates. And we're going to find out about upholding the dignity of marriage in light of no-fault divorce. Good morning to Bay McFarlane. Hi, Bay.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Bay. Thanks so much for being with us. So we appreciate it. And maybe let's talk a little bit about Mary's Advocates, of which you are the founder, what it's all about.
Sure. The vision of Mary's Advocates is to reduce unilateral, no-fault divorce. And in the old days, the only kind of divorce that existed was one where somebody who reneged on their marriage promises was kind of held accountable as much as possible to repair the damage that was done when they broke the marriage promises, like someone who abandoned or someone who wanted to go, you know, hook up with the secretary at work or whatever. But since no-fault divorce and unilateral no-fault divorce started to take effect in all the states, now what happens is the person who breaks the marriage promises, who wants to stop being married, in other words, they have the power to force a divorce on a family, even though the other spouse has done nothing grave to justify separation, and the other spouse and children are counting on the one who's breaking the promises to keep the family together. So we're working to reduce that as much as we can. It's a big job.
So it's kind of like abandonment, unjust abandonment.
Right, right. And what we've found is there's kind of this, I don't know if mantra is the right word, but there's this attitude in the public that marriages just end. It's like marriages don't just end. It's kind of like saying, you know, robberies just happen, or you know, if you leased a car and your car was just gone one morning, you know, cars just disappear. The attitude is, with this no-fault divorce, that there's no culpability or no choice on the people who are breaking up their own family.
And so what does Mary's Advocates, how do you support these individuals?
Well, for one thing, we just give each other a network where we understand each other's position, because it's a pretty lonely walk out there when your spouse decides to abandon the marriage and you are depending on them. And the world tells you that you're single again, you need to move on. So for people to find us who are in that position, I have heard they're so grateful just to find some people that understand this position. And then on a very practical level, those of us who want to join monthly in a conference call where we go through this book that we've published, it's The Gift of Self, A Spiritual Companion for Separated and Divorced, Faithful to the Sacrament of Marriage. So those who were unjustly abandoned support each other. Just in how do you walk this path? Because it's not like your spouse died. You know, that would be a very sad situation that you'd have to overcome. But for those that are separated or divorced unwillingly, how do you remain? How do you be a spouse to someone who basically ripped your family apart? How do you love them? How do you fulfill your own promises? So we help each other work through what does forgiveness mean? How do you deal with the anger? You know, how do we offer up our sufferings as Christ did? How do we trust God, though we are the recipient of a grave injustice? Because, like, that's one of the practical things we do.
Bay, not only being a support network, you get the self-help book, a support network, but you also, I believe, you help them understand like how canon law works, education about marriage proceedings,
yeah,
and all of that as well.
Yeah, yeah, Jen. Because what I think happened, let's imagine 70 years ago, and there was a woman who just was bored with her husband, and he's not terribly abusive. She's just kind of bored. I don't know. Maybe her children are older, and it's empty nesting. 70 years ago, she wouldn't have the option of forcing a divorce on him and taking half his property and making him pay her child and spousal support for any minor children and take away his children from him. I mean, that would have just been a horror. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, a woman can do that to a husband. So if this woman who is breaking up her own family now is a professed Catholic, what Mary's Advocates does is we show the faithful spouse who wants to keep the family together, we show them how to implement the canon law on separation of spouses. And I was pleasantly surprised to find out that the church has a procedure for separation of spouses and divorce. And in a nutshell, Mary's Advocate shows people how to write to the diocese. You know, in Matthew 18, I think I got it right, where what do we do when someone offends us? We're supposed to approach the person first, and then if they don't listen and they still hold their hardness of heart and continue wanting to offend us, then we bring other witnesses or peers to approach the person. And then if the person still continues to hold their hardness of heart and want to offend us, we're instructed by the gospel to go to the church. So what Mary's Advocates has is a petition that anyone could use, and I can correspond with people on how to tweak it for their circumstances, and we're asking the church to implement the canon laws on separation of spouses. I mean, have you guys ever heard of these canon laws? I had an inkling something was wrong, but I didn't know they were there until I started doing my research.
Yeah, no, I had no idea on those either, Bay, for sure. One of the other...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, Bruce, for example, there's two canon laws that particularly say spouses are obligated to live together unless they have a legitimate reason for separation. And then these legitimate reasons include things that wouldn't shock anyone who's getting married. You know, if someone's gravely abusive or someone's committing adultery or someone's like a terrible gambler and they're taking all the family's money and wasting it on gambling or on drugs, those kind of situations are fault-based. But if someone is just abandoned, so anyways, the church recognizes that if there is a legitimate reason for separation, okay, but then the church says that there are certain determinations that need to be made in separation of spouses cases, and it's not the civil court that has the power to do this. The church gives the bishop or his mandated delegate the competence, and that's a legal word, but he's got the one that's got the, he's the only one that really has the authority, according to canon law, to decide and judge a separation plan that is in accord with divine law. So as a very practical example, say there's the husband I was describing, and the wife is like bored, annoyed, you know, maybe she's bought into some of the secular feminist agenda where women don't need men or whatever. I mean, whatever it is. He's a normal guy. He's not St. Joseph. If the husband was to ask the church to intervene and implement these canon laws, the first thing the church would do is they would try to get the spouses to reconcile. So they could talk to the wife. They could say, excuse me, ma'am, you know, when you married this man in the church, you agreed to love and honor, good times and bad, sickness and health, so you're obligated to work on reconciling, and here are some, you know, we could recommend some people who have expertise helping someone reconcile. And the wife could very well kind of be shaken into her senses and like, oh, and it's like, hey, Mrs. Wife, we understand you're disappointed in what's going on, but you know, divorce is not the solution. Improving your marriage is the solution. And I'm sure you could have other guests on Retrovi or whatever talking about mm-hmm. how marriages can get a lot better with the right kind of help. That would be the first step. The church is responsible for trying to reconcile. But if that fails, the husband is asking the church to try to prevent scandal. Because when the church sits on the sideline and doesn't get involved at all, what outside observers see is, oh, there's Mrs. Wife getting a no-fault divorce on her husband. There's the dad losing everyday access to his children and half the property. And the church remains silent.
Yeah, we have to better. Yes, we have to do better with marriage. And because the secular world is seeing that, hey, why shouldn't everyone have access to marriage? Because we're not doing a very good job in showing what a man and woman united together is doing.
Exactly. And there's plenty that could be done before people are married or shortly after they're married, but what Mary's Advocates, what we focus on, is trying to work on unilateral no-fault divorce. So there's canon law that could be implemented, so we show people how to do that if they're both Catholics. But there's also constitutional principles, which are just fascinating when you talk about contract. And how are we doing on time here, by the way?
Well, we're good. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, the canon law, what the church has to say to challenge unilateral no-fault divorce. You also, Bay, talk about civil laws that can be invoked to challenge this.
Right. And this has to do with the U.S. Constitution restricts states' powers, and states cannot make laws infringing on intended obligations of parties in a contract. So consider, I don't know, you're leasing a car. So you got the car dealer and the person who leases the car, and you've got an agreement between each other. What do you promise? You know, I'm going to pay you however many dollars a month. I'm going to have the car to use. And then one day you wake up and the car's gone, but they still expect you to pay the lease. And if the state said, well, you know, we believe in unilateral, no-fault breaking of leases, so, you know, we're going to let the car dealer keep the car. Maybe they can lease it to somebody else and make double the money, but you still have to pay. I mean, everybody would know that's insane. And if the state did make those laws, the state would be infringing on intended obligations of parties in a contract. Well, we need to look at what are the intended obligations of parties in a Catholic marriage contract. And they go in there expecting to rely on the other party to uphold their obligations. This is a contract like other contracts. And then what rules do you agree to follow? So if somebody wanted to invoke constitutional principles, like Mary's Advocates doesn't have a lineup of lawyer experts that we could give people for free, but if somebody had the resources, we could help them find out more information about how to do this, where somebody could complain in it as a divorce defendant, look, we have an existing contract, and the rules that we agreed to uphold in our contract are the Catholic Code of Canon Law. And for the state to force on that husband that I used as an example, a unilateral no-fault divorce, that is contrary to the agreement and promises he made with his wife when they married. So, like, marriages end for two reasons, one of two reasons. One spouse decides to renege on the marriage promises, or both spouses decide to renege on the marriage promises. And if that's happening, the Constitution could say, you could say that we need to follow the rules we agreed to follow when we married. And how that would play out in a constitutional challenge? Time would tell. Because even if a marriage, another thing that's come up a lot in the news lately is, there's this, people are interpreting Amoris Laetitiae differently, whether or not somebody who is in a second union can or cannot receive communion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talk about that. But if we were to talk about what happens when the first union breaks apart, even if a marriage was invalid, like say that woman, the woman who is bored with her husband years later, let's say she actually lied. She totally lied. She married him for his money. She never intended permanence. The bridesmaids and the maids of honor could testify that that's really what she did. Okay, she has an invalid marriage. But what should happen during the breakup? Should it be a unilateral, no-fault thing? Should the husband have to pay her support and give him half his property if she committed fraud at the time of the contract? And the church canon law says that even in cases of invalidity of a marriage, the church is the one that's supposed to instruct the parties of their moral and civil obligations towards each other.
Hmm.
So by getting this information out there and trying to equip people with tools that they could use to reduce unilateral no-fault divorce, we're hoping to strengthen marriage.
Bay McFarland with us this morning.
I think, Bay, a big part of that is, for Catholics particularly to understand what the sacramental nature of marriage really is, and especially before they enter into it.
Right. And that reminds me of another resource that Mary's Advocates has, and I've even exhibited at a bridal show. They can get great instruction from their priest, and they may or may not be paying much attention to it, but we give them a way to put in writing in a signed document their intention to uphold the marriage promises. So it just has the marriage promises in a beautiful way. And then it also has this accompanying booklet that's trying to put in force as much as possible what are the marriage promises, good times and bad, and raise your children in accordance with the laws of the church. If at the time of marriage, people were proposed with signing this, let's say that woman who never intended permanence was reading the fine print on this document where she's asked to promise to agree to what she actually promises, would she get cold feet? Would she reconsider? Would she fess up and say, wow, you mean I might actually be held accountable to doing what I'm promising to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she would rethink what's going on.
Yeah. So, May, what is the story behind we have about 3 minutes left. What's the story behind founding of Mary's Advocates?
Wow. I grew up Catholic schools my whole life, went to a Catholic university, met my husband in college, married later when we were in our 20s, late 20s. And I had four children when my husband ended up deciding to put our family through a no-fault divorce. And I had no idea that this was even happening. A priest friend of mine was saying how he had no idea either, that a lot of people were of the understanding that divorces only happen when both parties want a divorce. And that the idea that you could force a divorce on a family, people didn't know about. And I started looking into the church law on this, because some of the general stuff that I was finding on very short, simplistic church publications was talking about how divorce is something you experience, or marriages end. And this made me figuratively scratch my head. It's like, wait a minute, I'm not just experiencing a divorce. Somebody is choosing to do this to our family.
It's being thrown upon me.
Yeah, and they appear to think that they're not doing anything wrong. So I started just publicizing what I was finding on a very simplistic website. And I knew how to start a nonprofit, so I did the paperwork to start a 501c3 nonprofit with a board of directors. And I've been publicizing what I've been finding. And I started this in 2004, so it's been, 13 years now I've been doing this. And I was a stay-at-home mom with four children, and I had to work because, you know, unless a supporting husband wants to pay to continue a wife to be a stay-at-home mom, there's no way I could do that anymore. And I got work, and the job I had, through circumstances that are too complicated, I ended up doing marriage advocacy full-time. So for the last year and a half, I've been doing this full-time, just reaching out and trying to spread the word, talking about our resources, totally surviving on donations. It's been quite miraculous and humbling. Like, every month, I don't know if I can pay my mortgage in 6 weeks. But donations come in, and I just keep trying to spread the word to encourage people who are the ones who are reluctantly divorced that you're not alone in your understanding that this is an injustice. And, you know, what can you do to support each other?
Well, continued prayers, Bay McFarland, to you and mm-hmm. to individuals that you are helping through the founding of Mary's Advocates. Where can they go online to find out more information?
Mary'sAdvocates.org is the website, and most of the things I've been talking about are in the resources section for defending marriage. And there's more research findings on that website than probably anything in the English-speaking world about the church's teaching on separation and divorce on the research section. But resources is just instructions, how do you do this petition, what's this constitutional principle stuff, where can I find support if I'm someone that was reluctantly abandoned, but in my heart of hearts I know I'm married and I want to remain faithful, how do I do that? Mary'sAdvocates.org.
Great inspiration, too, from Sister Lucia of Fatima. Bay, you put that up here as well.
Yeah, are you looking at that on the About Us section?
Yep.
You want to read that quote? I don't have it in front of me.
Sure. The final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Don't be afraid, she added, because anyone who works for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be fought and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. And then our Blessed Mother concluded, however, Our Lady has already crushed its head.
Yeah, I find that very comforting, because it's an unpleasant, uncomfortable walk. And we really do just cling to Jesus and trust Jesus and stick with Our Lady and try to figure out how the saints did it when they were dealing with things that were unjust, but they still had to keep going.
Absolutely. Bay McFarland with us today, founder of Mary's Advocates. Bay, thank you so much for being generous with your time, and may God continue to shower His graces on your beautiful apostolate.
Thank you, Bruce and Jen. Thanks.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.